Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 15th of March. We have the same guests, we just switched the order of the guests this hour. Bernie Sanders is giving a press conference, I'm not sure on what right now, so he's going to join us at 10:30. Bernie's a trooper. He's no matter what your politics are, you have to admire somebody who has as much passion as he does, and he asks questions that catch our attention and that are worth being answered. He asks in his book, which is a compilation of what he had to say during that historic filibuster on December 10, what does it mean morally and economically that in 2007 in this country, the top 1% earned over 23% of all income in this country, more than the bottom 50%, or that the top 1% owns more wealth than the bottom 90%. Given the enormous political power that goes with this concentration of wealth in terms of lobbying capabilities, campaign contributions, and media ownership, is the United States on its way to becoming an oligarchic form of society with almost all power resting in the hands of a tiny few? And what does it mean? And how does it reflect on our political and legal system when the crooks on Wall Street who caused this horrendous recession now earn more money than they did before their banks were bailed out by the taxpayers? And how come none of them are in jail? Bernie Sanders will be joining us a little bit later. But as you know, Asif Manvi is also scheduled. We're just talking to him now rather than at 10:30. And he is going to be in Milwaukee, actually, on Saturday. He's going to be the keynote speaker for the ACLU of Wisconsin's dinner Saturday at the Pfister Hotel here in Milwaukee, which should be quite an evening. I am going to have the great honor of emceeing the event. Chrissy's going to be attending the event as well, so we'll look forward to meeting many of you. Asif Manvi is, you know who he is, but you may not know some of his background. He's actually a very serious theater guy as well, as being a fantastic comedian. He's an award-winning playwright, author, and actor, as well as correspondent for Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He is the recipient of the 1999 Obie Award for his play Sakina's Restaurant, and his feature film, Today's Special, which he co-wrote and stars in, was released in theaters November 19 of 2010. He had just got off a red-eye special from somewhere in the world. I'm not sure where, so he's with us this hour. And we'll be funny, but also serious. We have a lot to talk about. We'll welcome phone calls for him. If you'd like to call in, do so early. He's only with us for part of the hour. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Asif Manvi, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. You know, I think about you and I think about President Obama, and I'm kind of envious of these people who have this. I grew up in the whole world. I grew up in India. I grew up in England. I grew up in the United States. It was kind of a nice thing to have happen in your life, isn't it?
You know what? It is. I've learned to, it's confusing sometimes because I feel a bit like a turducken. I'm sort of this Indian kid wrapped in an English teenager wrapped in an American adult, you know?
Right.
There is an element of an identity crisis a little bit sometimes.
But it also means you can step into almost any role, right?
Well, yeah, sometimes, you know. I mean, it's funny because, you know, sometimes I'll go out for TV pilots and stuff, you know, and they'll often, like, want me to come in and play, like, a kind of, you know, Midwestern American guy, and it's so not me. Like, I realize that, like, I just don't have the history and the background and the experience of being that person. It's like, you know, I'm sort of a mongrel of different things, but I'm not, like, when asked to be too specific about one particular thing, I think I get a little confused.
I saw an interview with you, though, that you did a couple of years ago, in which you talked about one of your most challenging roles was playing a German scientist.
Yeah. Well, it was. I mean, I did a play back in 2005 off Broadway with the Epic Theater Center, and we did this Canadian play called Einstein's Gift, and it was about the relationship between Albert Einstein and Friedrich Haber, who was a German chemist who won the Nobel Prize for Science back in the early part of the 20th century for nitrogen fixation. This is all very complicated, I know, but he basically created pesticide and was able to save Europe from starving. But it was this incredible sort of character of this German Jew who had this real nationalistic pride. It was prior to World War One, and then all of the, you know, the World War One and Hitler and all that happened to him as he grew older. But I had to age like from 25 to 65. So it was probably the most challenging role I've ever done. Yeah.
Well, I would imagine you can play anything if you can play a German Jew, right?
Well, you know, obviously, you make things your own, and I think you sort of have to find how that character fits on you, you know, how that character kind of speaks to you personally and how you can wear it, you know. So the most challenging part actually was not even the playing. It was actually the physical. There were two things that he had to do, which was he had to memorize huge chemical equations.
Oh,
and
my
I was
gosh.
Terrible at science.
Oh.
So I had to memorize these massive chemical equations and spew them off as if I had just, you know, as if they were second nature. And the other thing was he was a tremendous fencer, and he could fence. And I had to learn how to fence, which was also a huge challenge because I was so not an athlete as a kid. So those were the two biggest challenges.
I can understand why. Tell me, Asif, about the audition for The Daily Show. I read somewhere that you auditioned and you were on the air that night. Is that right?
Yeah, I actually auditioned. It was August 9th, 2006. And, you know, they called me in to audition for The Daily Show. Originally, I said no the audition because I had gone on these auditions and I thought, well, these kind of auditions, and I thought, you know, it's The Daily Show. They're going to have me do some goofy thing and dress up as an Indian guy and fly around in the carpet or something. I didn't know what they were going to have me do, you know. So I thought it was just going to be like a sketch. And so I originally said, no, I don't want to do that. And then they called back and they said, no, it's for a correspondent, and they really are looking for someone who looks Middle Eastern and can be, you know. So I went down there and read the piece with John, you know, and I was a big fan of the show, so I was kind of like, wow, kind of meeting John Stewart and all that stuff. And then and then he just turned around and offered me the gig, and he said, welcome to the show. And initially it wasn't a contract job. It was like a one-off thing, but then he just kept calling me back. John was, you know, like a big fan of mine, so he just kind of was like, I'm just going to keep calling you back. I like you. So I you know, that was great for me. So I just kept coming back for about 4 or 5 months doing one-off pieces for them, and then finally they offered me a contract. So
isn't
but I was
something
on the air that night. It was bizarre. Like, all of my friends sort of, you know, I didn't even have a chance to tell anyone that I was going to be on the show. So people just watched the show that night, and there I was, you know, reporting from Baghdad or wherever.
Right, there you were. Tell me what it's like. Now, tell me what you think of the fact that so many people get their news from The Daily Show now, that this is their source of news. Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I think it's a mixed thing. I think that we get to sometimes put the lens where other people don't, because we're the ones that call bullshit a lot of the times. You know, we're the kids in the back of the class, like sort of firing spitballs, but also calling bullshit and also trying to, like, you know, put our lens where other news organizations don't often go, and the perspective of us being essentially a comedy show and having that be our essential agenda allows us to sometimes point out things that I think other news organizations can't. Although I think people are copying us now. I find that when I watch the news, the real news, I find that their format is often they're copying The Daily Show, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think that people should watch other news. I don't think that we don't cover everything, and B, it is a particular perspective and it's a particular take and a slant, but I think people should watch other stuff. I mean, I try to watch as much Fox News as I can stomach so that, you know, I can at least have that understanding of what the dialogue.
I would imagine that you have to be a voracious consumer of news to do The Daily Show, don't you? You must have to, on some level, really like to know what's happening next and what's happening now, and do a tremendous amount of reading and a tremendous amount of viewing.
Not really.
Really?
I hate to burst your bubble, but you know, it's a very specific thing. Like, it's not, like, I don't need to, we have an incredible research department that does use, there is an element of The Daily Show that is definitely doing that all the time. As far as correspondents go, our job is very specific. We're mostly finding stories that are something that we think is funny, or, you know, we're pitching stories that I might, you know, find something and say, oh, this is a funny story, or somebody tells me about something, or I read something, but it's usually sort of more specific. And we also work in a team, you know, so often people will come to us and say, hey, this story, what do you think? And then we all get together and sort of brainstorm about stuff. So sometimes, often things are brought to me that I wasn't aware of, and then I sort of then do my research and get involved and sort of figure out, like, oh, you know, like... I just did this. The piece I was shooting in L.A. Was about the History Channel canceling the Kennedys miniseries.
Oh,
which I didn't know had happened. And then my producer came to me and he said, "Do you know the History Channel canceled the Kennedys miniseries, and we want to do a thing about the Kennedys? You know, we want to do it as a conspiracy theory kind of story."
Oh, yeah.
And so then you get involved, and then. We get together with writers. We, you know, then we sort of brainstorm jokes and ideas and things like that, and kind of come up with what our take on it is. So it's a very collaborative experience. So I don't have to do, it's not all resting on my shoulders. Like it's a very collaborative place.
Let's welcome phone calls for Asif. Asif Manvi is our guest from the Comedy Central, The Daily Show, and he's going to be the speaker at the ACLU. Dinner this coming Saturday at the Pfister Hotel, and I'll have the chance to introduce him at that event, which should be fun. Let's go to phone calls. Renee in Green Bay is our first caller. Asif, hi, Renee.
Hi. I'm one of those callers that one of those people that say to you, "Here's a story. What do you think?" This is not comedy, and it's not a short sitcom thing, but it's a very good book. I think it would be just as good as have just as good a reception as the guy with the glasses. It's mystical. It's called Soul Flame by Barbara Wood. It's uh-huh. A very good book. If someone could please read it, I'd like to see it in play form or on television as a movie. I think it would be a huge seller.
What's the name of it? Soul Flame.
Yes, it's called Soul Flame.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Do people pitch you a lot of ideas because you do theater, you do film, you do all of that? Are you getting pitched a lot as well?
Yeah, it's, you know, people mostly. I mean, people don't often pitch me books, but I certainly appreciate it, and I'll look it up and I'll read it. But mostly they pitch me. You know, ideas for The Daily Show, like news stories. You know,
right.
A lot of people, I get emails and Facebook things all the time where people are like, you know, oh, why don't you do a story about this? Why don't you do a story about that? And I always, you know, if it's something that I think is worthy and interesting enough, we always consider it. And you know, The Daily Show has certain criteria. It's also just a time thing. It's what John wants to do on the show. It's, you know, there's a lot of factors that are involved. Like, what is the funny? You know, the big question for us often is, like, some stories are really interesting and they should definitely be talked about and covered, but there's nothing necessarily that we can do that's funny about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we don't cover it because there's no, you know, somebody will sometimes pitch me something and they'll be like, okay, that's fine, but unless there's somebody on the right wing or somebody on the other side saying this is ludicrous and crazy and bad for America, and, you know what I mean, and all of that kind of stuff, then there's nothing for us to sort of play against.
Yeah.
You know?
In a case in point, you've got the huge story right now, which is problems at nuclear reactors and this horrendous earthquake and tsunami in Japan. At a meeting of the Daily Show, would somebody bring up how are we going to cover this, or would that be something that that's so horrendous that it just doesn't fit the format of the show?
You know, it's really up to John. It's really up to, like, what he wants to say and what he wants to do about it. Like, things like that, I often find that it's about John's sensibility. There are certain things that he will not cover because it's just not funny. It's too devastating. It is, you know, there's nothing that we can do to add to this, to it. We can only sort of, like, be snarky, and that isn't going to... You know, like, for example, we didn't really talk about the Charlie Sheen thing at all on The Daily Show very much.
Good.
You know?
I was so sick of that story.
What's that?
I was sick of that story. I don't know why everybody was covering it all the time.
I mean, but that was a particular... I mean, I know other comedy shows were all over that because it was such comic fodder, you know? But I don't think we covered it that much. John just didn't feel like it was, you know, relevant or important.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about watching somebody unravel, I don't think.
I think that we definitely have things that we don't, we will cover it at some other point or something, you know, but I don't know, we're off this week, and so the Japan thing has happened and the earthquake and all that, and we're going to be off until the following week. So we'll see what happens next week when we come back, you know, how John wants to handle it.
Paul from Duluth is next. Hi, Paul.
Hi. And I'm a huge fan. You pretty much answered my question.
Oh.
Was the deliberate decision to not be on the air this week, or had that been already made?
You know, this is another question I get asked a lot, and that is, we have our schedule made up for the whole year of the weeks that we're going to be dark and the weeks that we're going to be off and all that stuff. So, and the reality is the news cycle never stops. So whenever we're off the air, it's inevitable that some big news story will break and something will happen. And I'll get so many emails and people on Facebook like, how dare you be off the air this week? Oh, my God, do you know what's going on? You know, like... And so, but it's the luck of the draw. Like we were scheduled to be off this week. You know, it wasn't like the earthquake happened and then we said, you know, let's not be on the air next week.
Right.
You know.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Paul,
well,
for the call. You talk about John's sensibility guiding the show. John has a certain amount of genius to him because it strikes me that his sensibilities are pretty darn good. What do you think?
Oh, I hate the man. No, I'm kidding. No, he is not the most respected man in America for no reason. So, you know, New York Magazine, I think, called him. I think the guy has he's obviously got something that's working. And really a lot of the show... the show is him. The show is an extension of the things he wants to talk about, the story. You know, the stories that we go out and cover are the stories that he approves. So, you know, there's nothing on the show. I mean, it really is, in every way, his show, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get exhausted by all of it?
Exhausted, you know, no, not really, because the thing is, it's constantly changing, you know, like the work can be exhausting at times in the sense that you're off sometimes shooting something or last week I went to LA, which was kind of glamorous, but normally we're going to some small town out somewhere in Idaho or somewhere, you know, and it's like we're staying at a Hilton hotel and no frills, you know what I mean? It's like, and so sometimes just the travel and the work and all that stuff can be exhausting, but it's never exhausting in the sense that when you create the product and when we put the stuff on the air, it's always kind of exciting and great to sort of see the finished piece that we create, or even the, you know, the stuff that we do in studio, you know, like to see it, like hit the airwaves, and then the audience reaction, all of that is very exciting.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Well, wait until you come to Milwaukee. We're really the center of the whole country, and you'll never want to leave us if it's that good. You know, it's...
No, I've been watching you guys on the TV, so I can't wait to come out.
Oh,
there.
Have we ever been on the TV? You're right. What are you going to talk about at the ACLU banquet? Do you know yet?
I don't know. You know, I'm just going to get. They've asked me to just to like give a be their keynote speaker, so I'm just going to get up and sort of try to be funny and instill some values in people. Mm-hmm. Which is what I do.
What do you think of what's going on in Wisconsin, Asif?
You know, I think that it's what can you? I mean, listen, this is America. You know, this is our. I'm a guy who is. You know, I grew up in a sort of a middle working class family, and so I am. Always a union guy. You know what I mean? I'm kind of like a little bit, you know, I'm always that guy. And I have many friends who are teachers, and I think that it's one of the hardest jobs in the world. And you know, and I think that we really need to have a system in this country that it allows for, you know, I think a lot of it is that we often get caught up in what's best for the adults and not what's best for the children. And I think that, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but it really is about the education system in this country. And you know, I think that we are behind, the education system in this country is lacking. And I think that we need to have some kind of reform in that. And I don't think that is about taking things away from teachers. I think it's about giving more incentive to teachers you know, allowing the kids to get the best education that they can, you know.
Yeah. Asif, we'll look forward to meeting you. I'm going to be introducing you on Saturday, so if you want me to say anything special, let me know.
I will.
Okay.
I'll pass you a note right before you introduce me.
You'll pass me a note? Nobody's done that in years. I've missed those days. Thank you, sir. We'll see you Saturday.
Great.
Thank you. Goodbye. Asif Manvi, who is a correspondent for The Daily Show, he's going to be the keynote speaker at the ACLU of Wisconsin banquet. If you'd like more information about that banquet, you can go to aclu.wi.org, aclu.wi.org. We have a busy hour. Senator Bernie Sanders will be joining us momentarily. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.